Philippians 2:5, the great apostle Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." God, we thank you tonight in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have a place here that we can come and worship freely without intervention from the government or anybody else. And Lord, we can speak to our Savior and our Heavenly Father through him, and the Holy Spirit has free reign with us in this place, Lord, as we fellowship together and become one as the church. And Father, I do thank you for the illustrations and the instructions you give us in the instruction book you've made for us called the Bible. God, we don't have to be left out in the wilderness wandering, wonder what our God wants us to do. We don't have to, like the Egyptians, make a God out of everything we don't understand. We have God, period. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit, for indwelling us. Tonight, would you please just give us a holy stillness, and may we listen to what the Spirit has to say. What the preacher has to say is of no consequence if the Spirit does not speak through us. So, Father, cause me to say what you'd have me to say. Keep me from that which I ought not. And, Lord, if there is one here that doesn't know that they're saved, not sure of their salvation, may tonight be the night that they'll get that settled. For that Christian that wants a closer walk with thee, then, Father, tonight, would you please help them to take it? We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And be seated, please. The great Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, spoke concerning him. He said, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." In Isaiah 52:13, in verse 14, he said that his visage was so marred more than any man. The meaning of the word servant here is a doer or a slave. Stop and think about this. He was God, manifest in the flesh, but he emptied himself, made himself of no reputation. Christ is a second Adam. He is the representative of perfect manhood, what God wanted the first Adam to be but could not. As a servant, he humbled himself. I stop and think about that from time to time, quite often actually. The Creator of all things came down to being a servant of men, step by step in service to the whipping post and then to the cross. What an example for us. He is the servant. I want to be like him. Don't you? I want to be like him. Now, I fall short of the mark, but nevertheless, I'm going to continue to try day by day to be like the Lord. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. Every morning I get up like Paul, and I hope, Lord, please let me be mortified in the flesh as Alan Castle, and help me to be Jesus in the eyes of others out there. Let them see him through me. And at the end of the day, I have the Holy Spirit to tell me where I messed up, because I will mess up. And I have 1 John 1:9 that I thank God, because I can go before the throne of grace. John said, if we confess our sins, that word to confess, that doesn't mean to tell God what you did. He already knows that. He probably knew you was going to do it before you did it. But it is to agree with God, the Holy Spirit, that I did this wrong, because he's telling me. He's the one that's showing me. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I'm so glad for that. I want to be like him. I'd like to be like Jesus in love. In John 13, 34, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." In our day, the word love has been degraded and perverted. Young girls think they're baby-making machines and have no concept of the true meaning of the word love when some young man says, "I love you." Love is doing what's best for others, not taking advantage of them. Amen? The love of Jesus was without discrimination. Jesus loved those who rejected him, such as the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Amen? I want to love all men as Jesus did. Something happened to me the day I got saved. I was a mean rascal. In our day, if two guys didn't like each other, and you know, you ever meet anybody, just one look and you just didn't like them? In those days, if two boys were like that when we were these boys' age, there was going to be some action. One of them was going to beat the thunder out of the other one sooner or later. And usually we walked away the best of friends. I met most of my friends that way. That's why I got a big nose. I kept getting it broke. They think I'm kidding. You know the last one? I got to share this every time. You know who the last one was that broke my nose? She sits right there. I'm not kidding. We weren't married very long and we were horsing around and I was tickling her. She hauled off to pop me in the snot locker and she was going to pull her punch and she forgot. And she whacked me just perfect. I had two black eyes and I had to let that sucker drip for 6 weeks. She did a better job than all those buffaloes that knocked my head half off. I told her, "You only do that once. My ego won't allow it the second time." Don't get any ideas. But I had a pretty hateful heart. I was mad all the time. I don't know why, I just was. I was lost. Something happened to me, though. God gave me a new heart full of love, and he took out my old heart. You heard it had been said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye?" Brother, I'm here to tell you today, I can testify to the fact when I got saved, I looked at everybody with whole different eyes and a whole different outlook, and the hatred was gone. I mean, I even met a couple fellas. The only reason I didn't half kill them was because we had all the same friends. And out of respect for our friends, we left each other alone. But if it wasn't for that, it would have been $2 in a headlock, I'll guarantee you. And I saw that guy after I'd been saved, and I looked at him, and he looked like he crawled out from under a rock. No. The rock got up and ran away. That was in the 60s. He was a hippie. He came back from California on one of his excursions, and he looked like a long-haired hippie freak. And I saw him, and he looked at me. He said, "Castle?" And I said, "McHugh." He said, "Yeah. How are you doing?" And we talked. We hadn't seen each other in many years. And he said, "What are you doing now?" I said, "I'm a pastor over at Rome City, Indiana." "Oh," he said, "you're a Christian now?" I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Do you know the Lord?" He says, "Oh, yes." He said, "I got saved." I said, "Eddie, do us a favor." He said, "What?" I said, "Don't tell anybody." Jesus doesn't need any enemies from within the camp, amen? But be that as it may, like I said, he was a hippie. Some of the hippies thought they were generally saved. They were flower children. They were peaceniks and all that good stuff. And at any rate, new heart. I understand what this is talking about now. Love your enemies. You can. Don't have to like them, but you got to love them. Hey, did you know love's doing what's best for others? You can do what's best for somebody you don't like. You can change a tire for someone. You can buy a bag of groceries if they're needing them. You can do something for someone, even if you don't like them. Worldly speaking, the love of Jesus was an ending love. How many of you love somebody enough you've been praying for their salvation? Maybe a long time. How long do you pray for them? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. John 13:1 will tell you right there how long you pray for those that you're trying to see come to Christ. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, he was going to go to the cross. He knew it. He was leaving this world. His hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. That phraseology right there is his demise. On this earth, he could only love them until he departed this world. You know what? I don't want to give up on people until the very end of life, theirs or mine. Amen? For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband, or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Would this not also apply to other relationships as well? You just hang in there, and you'll be surprised who you may win to the Lord, even in the latter years, on the deathbed or wherever. Now, don't wait until the deathbed if you're not saved in here today. You don't know that you're going to be able to get saved then. But you keep praying. We can preach to people. We can pray for them. We can do absolutely everything within our power possible. But you are never going to win them until we learn to love them. And above all things, Peter said, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, we human beings are a funny lot. We look at people and we try and judge ourselves by them, and yet the Bible teaches us that man that compareth himself to man is not wise. And when we do that, we have a tendency to decide who can get saved and who can't. Don't do that. You don't know who you're going to lead to Christ. I said just briefly this morning when I called everybody when I got saved and told them I got saved, oh, that's nice, son. Well, that's nice, brother. You'll get over it. You know, that type of stuff. Those people that did that, by the way, over the years I've been able to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't ask for it, but I became the family chaplain right before I became a pastor for the first time. When I first went into the ministry, I started burying my mom's families. She had 9 brothers and sisters. They were all deaf. And I got to do their home-going services. But you see, most of those people never went to church. Because at that time, in our area anyway, they didn't have anybody that knew anything about the deaf. And I sat down over the years with every one of them personally and led many of them to Christ. And I had the privilege to bury my mother and my father both. Mom, back in 2007, and Dad in 2011. But when we buried Mama, the place was packed. Everybody thought, well, that she's almost 90, that her generation's gone, nobody's going to be there. Big joke. My sisters and I have friends everywhere, and Mom and Dad, back in the day, they were Mom and Dad to a whole bunch of people. We had neighborhood moms and dads. You understand what I'm saying? Back when neighbors were neighbors? And we didn't have cell phones. We had mothers that would tell on you. First thing they would do would come out and get you and their kid by the ear and take you in and work you over, and then they'd call your mother and say, I had to do this to Alan today. Okay, we'll take care of it. And I'd get it again when I got home. Horrible, man. Parents that stood with authority, it just was a curse to us kids. I grew up perverted, and I hate my parents, and no, if you think that, you better think again. You don't distort a child's character and personality. There's a place you can warp a child's personality that won't affect their attitude towards you. Amen? That's called the Board of Education applied to the seed of knowledge. And if you don't get educated from there, you're in trouble. People have to know that you love them. And when they found out it wasn't going to go away, this kid's serious about this, and his life changed. Something changed in him that my mother and father had been trying to change for 18 years and couldn't do. And nobody else could change either. She tried for 2 years. Girls, don't ever say, well, I'll change him. Hogwash. He'll drag you down in a heartbeat. You get a godly man that God wants for you, and you get one that is like faith and order, and he'll lead your home as a man of God. And young men, you do the same with the young lady, because you ain't going to change her either. I've seen that too many times. Most of us older folks have. And the wisdom of youth is to listen to the wisdom of the old. I want to be like Jesus in love. I want to love people like he did. Charity never faileth. I hate it when people call 1 Corinthians 13 the love chapter. No, it's the charity chapter. That goes a step farther than love. That's loving without expecting love in return. Amen. Loving without expecting love. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You want to win people, you better love them in spite of themselves. Why? How do you think God loves you? Do you really think he looks down at us and sees us on our worst day and says, boy, I'm so proud of that child of mine? Probably thinks, well, it's about time to take Castle to the woodshed again. I'm telling you, folks, we need to love like Jesus loved. Let people be people. That's the way they were made. That's the way you were made. Let's love them in spite of themselves so that we might be able to win them to Christ. I'd love to be like Jesus in love, but I'd like to be like Jesus in humility as well. Philippians 2:8 that we read says, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ was a creator of everything. This blows my mind when I think of eternity and heavenly things. I just get short circuit in my wiring and my ears start smoking. The Lord Jesus Christ was the creator of all things.
Say, oh, God the Father did that.
Wait a minute. John 1:3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. It was our Savior before he became our Savior that stepped out into nothing and spoke it into existence. You understand how big a God we have? We're living in an age of pride. We're proud of possession and all these other things. Guess where we get that from? I'll not turn there for time's sake. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 9 through 15. The five I wills of Lucifer. I will ascend above the clouds of God. I will ascend above the throne. Blah, blah, blah. The five I wills. Read it. And I just love it. God wasn't going to leave it lay at that, so we have the five I wills of the Almighty God in Ezekiel chapter 28, where he says, he answers the five I wills of Lucifer. But the thing is, Lucifer was a very proud being. The first sin ever committed was pride, and that was committed in heaven. And I can pretty well guarantee that all sin today, no matter what you call it, is all emanating from that original sin called pride. That's all it is. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. We need to be humble. I need to remind myself once in a while so that my wife doesn't have to, because that's hard on me. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Hey, Brother Castle, you don't know how important I am. Yes, I do.
You go out to any churchyard and look at the dates on the stones and about all the people under those stones. They were here for a very short period of time like you and I will be. How many of you 70 plus ever thought you would be this age? I didn't. I figured somebody would have shot me by now. When I was their age, my elderly parents in their 40s, I said, man, they're antiques. Am I hitting home, kids? No? Oh, your parents are in their 30s. Okay. Anyway, I'm just telling you, you never, the only thing I was worried about at 14 was getting to be 16 so I could be something special. And it wasn't sweet 16 either. The only thing about 16 that really tripped my trigger was one day I was going to be 21 or 18 and get out of that school. And when I was 18, I wanted to be 21, and I won't tell you why. I wasn't proud of it anymore. When I was 21, it didn't make any difference, because when I hit 25, the years started going by faster and faster, and that's when I developed furniture disease. My chest dropped into my drawers, and on we went. God has a way of humbling us. And the reality sets in. I have lost friends, and in 32 years I've buried so many people, you will never go to that many funerals in your life unless you're a pastor. And I've buried them from tubal pregnancies all the way up to 104 years old and absolutely everything in between. And one thing I've learned is that every day I'm on this earth is the grace of God. Every day. Any of you boys, anybody 12? 12, right there, that young man right there. In Wisconsin, 12-year-old boy, nephew to a family that was keeping him in their home for a visit. Took a 30-30 rifle and blew his brains out. A lady in our church's granddaughter, 20 years old, just shy of 21, committed suicide. Try doing funerals like that. I'm just saying, I realize the older I get, how brief these life periods really are. And none of us knows the day or the hour. The Bible's very plain. Every man has an appointed time. You're not going to go 1 minute sooner or 1 minute later than God expects you to, because he holds the key. And my goodness, if that doesn't humble you, I'm nothing. Right. One day, Lord tarries his second coming, which I don't think he will. You're going to find a stone in some cemetery somewhere. It says Alan Castle, born August 15, 1949, deceased whenever. And whatever length of time that is, I promise you in 50 years nobody will remember my name or what I had done. Nobody knew me before I was here. And shortly after I'm gone, they're going to forget who I was. And all the great things I've done in this world and in this life are as dust. We're not so important. The only thing that makes you and I important is we are the children of a king. Little princesses, little Lord Fauntleroy. I mean, the little princes. Hey, we're children of a king. I want to be like Jesus in prayer as well. I want to be like him in love, humility. I'd like to be like him in prayer. And it came to pass in those days that he went out in a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Wonder how many times you've been woke up in the middle of the night and didn't have enough brains to realize maybe God wants to talk to you a while. And maybe he wants to hear from you. Say, if I do that, I'll never get back to sleep. Read your Bible. Let God talk to you. The devil doesn't like that. He'll put you to sleep. Can I get an amen? Jesus had a place of prayer. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, it says in Luke 11:1. Let me ask you, folks, do you have that special place where you can get alone with God? The Lord Jesus did. Is he not our example? My wife and I pray together every morning. But you know what? She needs her personal time with the Lord, and I need mine. And we both have our place. This may sound a little silly to you, but it's the truth, and it worked. When all of our kids were home and little runts growing up, and there was a 110-pound golden retriever in the house that never left her alone, and no kid left her alone. The only room in the house that had a lock, guess where? The commode. She would literally go in there and lock herself in so that she could read her Bible and pray peacefully. Even with all the little fingers under the door, said, "Mommy, are you all right?" Do you have a special place of prayer where nobody can interrupt you? I hate being interrupted in a conversation with someone. Amen. And especially my father. Amen. All the things the disciples seen Jesus do, all the words they've ever heard him pray, or preach, and all the times they've seen that he'd gone into a mountain apart to pray. The Bible says it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to walk on water." Lord, teach us to pray. They were so impressed. People, I'm going to tell you, I've had the privilege of knowing some great men of God in my life. I went to Dr. J. Arnold Fair's church in Angola, Indiana when I was in Rome City. He was one of the first professors at Hiles Anderson when it first started. And he had a very large church over there, and he called up and said, "Brother Castle, I got Dr. Lee Robertson coming to preach. Why don't you come on over, bring some folks?" I said, "Okay." So we drove over to see him, and we got out of the car, my wife and I, we were getting ready to walk in. The place was almost packed, and he says, I met Brother Fair at the doorway. He said, "Brother Castle, us men are just getting ready to go downstairs and pray. Would you come down and pray with us?" I said, "Sure, Doc, I'd be glad to." I'm thinking the men of the church are going to be down there. It was me and him and Lee Robertson. First time I'd ever met him. I said, "Do you mind if I pray first? I'm just a young snot-nosed preacher back yonder." And Lee Robertson, man, he was a man of God if I've ever met one. You just felt like you were in the presence of the Holy Spirit himself when you were in his presence. Now, I don't mean to be blasphemous. I don't believe that is blasphemous, because he was certainly indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and I believe controlled by him. And what a man. I met him one time, talked to him for 10 minutes after we prayed. That's it. And I thought, man, this is a guy that has power with God. My pastor had power like that with God. He was a no-name preacher, as if you compare him to somebody like Lee Robertson, but he knew them all. He certainly did. And boy, that guy would pray for God to shut up the rain, and God would shut up the rain. I'm not overstating that. I'm not taking time to tell you all the stories. He'd have a bill come due. He'd pray it in, and he'd, the money would come into the exact penny that he prayed for, and he'd pay the bill. I mean, that's just the way the guy lived, totally by faith. You don't see a lot of that today. You just don't. Lord, teach me to pray. How about that? And he didn't teach us a prayer to repeat over and over, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That was God's outline of prayer. I know Jerry Ross well enough to know he's taught you that. That's the outline of prayer, how you're supposed to work your prayer with the Lord. I sure would like to be like Jesus when it comes to prayer. Why? He had a conversation with God. and he got things done. But I'd also like to be like Jesus in faith. Anybody in here could possibly use a little bit more faith? Hello? And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. Greatest man of faith, prayer, all these things is the Lord Jesus, a great biblical example for you and I. I'm not trying to be a Jerry Ross or a Doug Castle or a Lee Robertson or anybody else. I want to be like Jesus. Amen? See, those other guys are just sinners saved by grace like I am. And they do have their faults. It's hard to find them, and I don't look for them. But they do have them, but I can't find one in him. Amen. I don't know if you've heard this or not. Probably have. An old poet wrote this poem, Faith and Doubt. Doubt sees the obstacles, faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step, faith soars on high. Doubt question, who believes? Faith answers, I. Now, I was always under the doubt until I got saved. And God started increasing my faith. Do I have all the faith I need? No. Why? I need to hear more of this book. I need to hear more preaching. I feel absolutely bad for Christians that miss, that could be in church. I'm not talking about those that are ill. Good night. I don't want them here. I don't want your cooties. I'm talking about those that know they should be here, but they're missing for fishing. They're missing for deer season. I always told the men of my church, I don't care if you go deer hunting all year long, but if you go deer hunting on the Lord's Day, I'm going to pray God not give you a deer. I did that down here in my Sunday school class. One guy got upset. I said, tough. Get over it, because I already did. You know, those deer, and it's a retired guy. Those deer are out there 7 days a week. You don't need the Lord's Day to go out and shoot a deer while you're supposed to be in the house of God. Amen. By the way, he never got one this year. I can't increase my faith unless I'm hearing the word of God. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by. Amen. I didn't say it, God did. So if you're going to increase your faith, you got to get your nose in the book, and you got to hear the book. You know, if you don't believe that God can use you to lead others to Christ, he probably won't. If you don't believe that God answers your prayers, he probably won't. If you don't believe that God can use your abilities to serve him, you probably won't. How's them apples? Faith, folks, listen, get this if you get nothing else. Faith doesn't believe that God can. Faith believes God will. We know God can. I mean, the devils know that. Faith is believing that God will. Now listen, lest somebody says, well, I asked for this, that, and the other, and God's never answered my prayer. No, you have not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Don't ask for a new bass boat. That's what you hint to your kids before Christmas, you know. But don't tell God all the wonderful things of this life that you have to have. That's not, pray in God's will and you will receive. Ask and ye shall receive. Amen. I'd like to be like God also in service. We see in Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let me ask you, is God with you tonight? Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what? I had a bunch of old folk up in Baileyville, and they were so upset because I preach hard on people getting involved in the ministry. You know, we want to hire a pastor to do all the soul winning and mow the lawn and to do this and to do that. It's not his job. His job is to grow you spiritually to where you go and reproduce. Not that he shouldn't be a soul winner, because he should, but that you go and reproduce. Sheep reproducing sheep. Don't just sit back on your blessed assurance and pray for God to increase the church and then nobody does anything about it. That don't work. Amen? You got to get up and go. Say, preacher, my get up and go got up and went years ago. I can't go anymore. I'm only 89, but I can't get up and walk like I used to. Hey, I got news for you. I had a set of prayer warriors that was second to none in this world up in Baileyville. I said, ladies and gentlemen, I know you can't do what you used to do, but you can do something you've always done and do more of it, and that is pray. I had several ladies, probably a half a dozen ladies. If I had a major decision or something major coming up, I'd call those ladies and say, here's what I need. I need you ladies to pray for me. And this is what I need. Or for the church, or for somebody. And they always did, and God always listened. Don't ever think you're on a shelf. You're not off the hook with God. You do what you can do. Don't worry about what you can't. You do what you can. I don't know this young lady as well as I'd like to, Mrs. Ross, but I'll bet you I know one thing about her. She prays for her boy. And you know what? If her pastor wasn't her son, I bet she'd pray for him just as vehemently. Are you listening? It's okay to be biased. We pray for our son, but I pray for Cameron too. I pray for men of God all around this country. A lot of good men that I know. Brother Tim Booth rehabbing from his heart surgery. I mean, when an evangelist is down, folks, they're down. They don't have an income like we have. They need all the prayer we can give them. Amen? I'd like to be like Jesus. In service. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, Jesus said. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Down in verse 12, after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I've done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and well say ye say well, for so I am. But if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, don't come to me after the service. I don't want to wash your dirty, stinky feet, all right? For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, folks, that's not talking about washing feet. That's talking about serving one another. That was an act of hospitality in those days. You all know that. I'm not going to rehash it. I know your preacher. He's taught you those things. There's a lot of folk today that think you've got to incorporate foot washing in with the Lord's Supper. That's not anything near what he was trying to say here if they'd take that whole passage and read it. So, at any rate, I'd like to be like Jesus in love, wouldn't you? How about in humility and in prayer and in faith and in service? I'd like to be like him in all those things. Why? So that I can be like him in glory. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Paul's goal was, he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What's Paul saying? He said, out yonder at the end of my life, whenever that is, my ultimate goal is to be as much like my Savior as I can be when I meet him face to face. And therefore, every goal, everything that he did in his life from that point on, every short-term goal, if it didn't work towards helping him to become more like the master, he just flat didn't do it. He always did those things that would help bring him closer to the Lord. Always. Say, I'm not Paul. No, but you ought to be like him. I'm not Jesus either, but I want to be like him. And when I see him face to face, 1 John 2:28 tells us, we're in the last time, little children, and we need to be careful of our lives lest we be ashamed of him at his coming. I don't understand all I know about the bema seat in heaven. I know I'm not going to be judged for my sins, but I think there's going to be great shame there for what I should have done and didn't. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not the first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, that's you and I. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Look, you and I are not going to be perfect like Jesus now in this life, but we're supposed to try to be. That's why God gave us the Bible. It's God's instruction manual for man. Like I said, no preacher can ever preach any more than two messages. How to know you're going to heaven when you die, and how to live till you get there. Period. That's what the book's all about. I want to know how my Father wants me to live. I don't want to be outside of His will. I've had the chastening of my earthly father, didn't like it, wasn't worth the pain. I would behave while I was in his presence anyway. But I've had the chastening of my heavenly father as well, and I can't get away with nothing with him. I'm telling you, he knows what I've done. Sort of like mama. Mama and God are the only two that know what that kid's been up to. I could never get away with anything with my mother. That's why I want to be like him, because we're going to be like him in glory. Let's be as much like that as we can when we meet him. I would like to be like Jesus. He said, I am the bread of life. Have you taken that bread to anybody that's hungry lately? He said, I am the light of the world. Have you ever let your light so shine that the neighbors and friends and family around you all see your light and want to know what's going on? Jesus said, I'm not of this world. Which world are you living for? You more concerned about your retirement income here or your retirement in glory? I hate to say it, folks, but there ain't no retirement in glory. We're going to be serving Him the rest of eternity, and ain't going to be grievous either. He said, I am the door of the sheep. How many sheep have you herded through that door lately? I am the good shepherd. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to take care of the sheep and to win the lost to Christ? I am the resurrection and the life. Boy, the cults don't like that. The rest of that verse, by the way, says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not by your baptism, not by your church membership. I don't care what Dr. Huang Doodle or Professor Fluffy ears say, the book is always right. Amen? I am in the Father and the Father in me. Let me ask you, are you saved tonight? Who's inside of you? The very Holy Spirit of God. I am the true vine. Are you his branches? He said, I am a king And I've already told you what that means to you and I. Amen? We're royalty. Not by our own virtue, by His. I noticed all these things. This is just a few. You want to do an interesting study, look that word I am up. As I said this morning, that's the I am of the burning bush. Right there. He claimed to be I am. People, you cannot begin to be like Jesus until you know Him as your Savior. And if you know Him tonight, and you want this world to be a better place in which to live, believe me, there's not a lot of people out there that are like Jesus. And that's our fault, because we're supposed to reach them for Christ. Back yonder so many years ago, Christians have dropped the ball and quit witnessing for Christ. It sickens me about the old statistics, 2% of the people in any given Baptist church do 98% of the work. That ought not to be the case, ever. Everybody ought to do something. Everybody. Are you listening? Everybody ought to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't hire a man of God to do all your dirty work. And by the way, no work for Christ is dirty work. None of it. It may be laborious at times. You're going to work your tail off sometimes. But you know what? You'll lay your head down at night and you'll sleep like a baby and you'll know that you're right with your Savior. Amen. Father, we come before You in Jesus' name. Thank You for the Word of God tonight, for the people of God once again. Lord, please go with us tonight. Help us to walk out of here more like the Master than when we walked in. And Lord, help us to be all we should be for Christ's sake. For it's in His name we pray.